Amen. He's a good father. He's probably the best father that I ever had. Not diminishing my father in earth, but he is all that I have need tonight. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity, Father. It is a privilege, it's a pleasure, Father, to be here tonight. Gather among your people, Father. Not only them, but Lord, having fellowship with you, your presence. Father, we are so thankful that we're still alive and strong and well, Father. You give us energy and vigor to continue, Father. Father, it is not us, but it's you, Father. You supply, Father, all that we have need, Father. And tonight is no different. We thank you for those that are here present, those that couldn't be here, Father. Bless them just as well, Father. And if they have any situation, any sickness, any circumstances, Father, we are believing that you can take care of that, Father. Amen. Father, we ask you to send a special unction for this congregation, Father. And I need to be also, Father, just help me to get out of the way and let you speak your word to your children, Father, because that's what they came to hear. So anoint me, my voice, Father, my body, everything, and let you have your way, Father, tonight. Be with our brother, Pastor, Father, as he travels and back and forth, bring him safe, Father, and keep him, Father. We love you and we thank you and we ask you all these things in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. It is, like I said, it's a pleasure and to be here tonight with you guys and be able to even stand in front of you guys. Sometimes, you know, we have to battle things, but thank God that he is the one that gives us the victory. You know, and we are so thankful for that. Tonight I want to get right into the scriptures. Nothing new, just different angles and different person preaching. That's the only thing that is new, but there's nothing new, you know, under the sun. So we are told to just to remind you those things. Make remembrance of the things that you already know. So I don't have nothing new tonight. So we continue letting the Spirit have control, and let us see where it takes us, you know. Let's get into that spiritual realm, and let's get what we have need tonight. Amen. You came with some needs. We all have needs. So I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare. I think if it's a day that we are in a battle, it is today. We are wrestling not, you know, not against flesh and blood. We know that. According to Ephesians 6:12, you can put that. So, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And you know this scripture. This is, you heard it many times. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, there's a great battle going on. Today. You like it or not, there's a great battle going on in the spiritual world. Excuse me. And this battle is a personal one, too. It's you and you and you, and it's all of us, between the flesh and the spirit. You know, sometimes you might say, well, you know, I don't know about any battles. I didn't join to fight. What? Sorry, Brother Brown said, you have not joined a picnic. You have joined a battle. And the problem is, you like a battle or not, you're in it. Satan chose the mind. And God chose the heart. So where is the battleground at? You, every day walking, you are the battleground. I've been in wars. I know what the battleground looks like. The battleground neither here or there. The battleground didn't make a decision if he wanted to be a battleground. The battleground just became that because this guy chose, this is where we are going to meet. You know, like David and Goliath, you know. The poor battleground, you know, poor guy, you know, innocent, you know, had nothing to do with anything. But here is where we're going to fight. You are a walking battleground this morning, tonight. So you don't have no choice. So when you get up in the morning, you don't even know what you're going to expect in the morning. Because I was in war. I know how war are. I've been in battlegrounds. I get up in the morning. You don't know. You know only one thing, that you're going to encounter the enemy. And you ain't got no choice. And you better do your best with your training as a soldier. Because you're going to have to fight back. That's all I knew. I don't know when and I don't know how. But when I got up in the morning, you're in a survival mode already. See, you cannot get up in the morning and tulip through the roses and everything. Like everything is peachy and everything is fine. Listen, you're going to meet them because you're the battleground. And it's going to be a fight. You like it or not, it's going to be a fight. Listen, you are not picking up a fight. You're not looking for the fight. The fight is going to look for you. Because you are the battleground where God and Satan is going to meet. So, there's a great battle being fought in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world. So, this battle with the evil forces of the world, it is a spiritual, like I said. It is a supernatural battle. Oh, here's some water. So, this battle with evil forces of the world. You know, it is a spiritual battle with not only evil forces, but supernatural powers. Not flesh and blood. You cannot fight. Satan and Eve. He deceived her. He used deception. He lied to her. No? He uses illusions, making people believe things that really are not. Here in 1 Corinthians 15:40, Paul says, of 1 Corinthians 15:40. Let us. No, do I got the wrong one? That's 14. 15:40. I don't know what happened to the notes. There's also celestial bodies. It says, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the celestial is one, and the terrestrial is another. So, Paul speaks of a division of natural and spiritual. There's natural bodies and there's spiritual bodies. So, we are supposed to be the spiritual Jerusalem, but we have a natural Jerusalem. You have a spiritual body, but you also have a body made of flesh. What's happening in Israel right now? In the natural Jerusalem? You see the news? It's war. Yeah. Right. So what do you think is happening in the spiritual body of Christ? Right. 200,000, you know, demons and devils will lose to drive, right, you know, Israel to the promised land. Now, where those spirits and demons are working at? Right. On the bride. They lose on the bride. Amen. But God is using them, you know, to drive us to what? Right. To a promised land. And Paul speaks of this division. Now, he also speaks in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. That's what our brother was preaching. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, if they don't have the Holy Ghost, there is no way they can understand. See? The natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So how are we going to fight if we don't have spiritual mind? We need to have the Holy Ghost to begin with. You know, if we're going to have any chance to have a victory, we need to have a spiritual mind. He said, because they are spiritually discerned. See, we have to have discernment to discern what's right and what's wrong. How can you fight your enemy if you don't know what you are encountering? You don't know if this is right or this is wrong. Discern, and it must be understood with a spiritual mind. In our natural, sinful state, we cannot understand spiritual things. So to begin with, without the Holy Ghost, there's no chance. If you are a Christian, you have to have discernment. Because we know that the enemy uses all kind of tricks and strategies. But you and I need to discern. And we're going to get into this a little more. I'm just trying to set up. But I'm so glad that we have this message that help us discern, that has exposed the enemy. We know who he is and why he is and what his strategies is. And throughout the greatest revelation that we have through the Word of God. So even greater revelation that believers we have power over the power of the enemy. That is how we're going to fight the enemy. Because you're going to have to fight. Your battleground is neutral. But who is the choice? You make the choice. Who is going to win? Huh? The good dog, the bad dog, the strongest dog, or the weakest? You decide. You're the battleground, so you're neutral. But you're going to decide who's going to win that battle. Anyway. The Bible said in the Old Testament that Abraham says, you shall possess the gate of what? Of your enemy. Do you know what the gate of your enemy is? Your mind. Your enemy is Satan. So the gate to your body is your mind. But who controls the mind? Who decides what goes in and what goes out? Satan cannot push himself in. Satan cannot force himself. There is a gate. The gate is the mind. And that gate to your soul. And not only that, but it controls. The mind controls completely. He can control your mind. He can control your memory. He can control all your senses. Because that's what he tried to do. But who controls that gate so he won't get there and do that? So that's what I'm saying, that we need to discern, have the power, have the spirit to discern. And we also have the power over the enemy because we control the gate. We control the gate that controls all your natural senses. Because Satan has access to your senses. He has access to your memory, to your conscience, the subconscious. You don't even know what is in there that he can figure out. He has access to everything in the spirit, in your spirit, your memory, your reason. So he can use all that just to start working. But we don't want to let any thought, we don't want to let anything to come in. We need to protect our souls. The Apostle Paul says, he warned us, he says in 2 Timothy 3:1, he says, that in the last days, there will be perilous, dangerous, terrible days, times. We are here already. Because it says, in the last days. So what days is this ones? The last days. So in the last days, there are going to be terrible times. And we already seen terrible times. We have seen it coming. I mean, look at our you know, the world is in chaos. Uh-huh. You know, we are almost in the brink of World War III. Yeah, the way things are going in the Middle East. See? This is the end time. It's approaching. It's more important today for believers to understand the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. You know, the thing is that we are fighting, you know, not only our age, but 7, 8, all the stuff that came from the first, second. The oven is 7 times hotter. So everything that came from the first, second, third, fourth, we had to fight with that. Plus, what we had to fight in our age too. So the oven is 7 times hotter today. So we are doing, you know, the believers in the first church, maybe age second, you know, the age of the, you know, sacrifice, but where they only had to, you know, die, physically die for the cause of Christ. But today is harder than that. Because today is such a deceiving world that we are living and wicked. That it's not only our body, but it's our mind, everything. You know, Satan takes advantage of just about everything. You know, it was okay if we just died and it's over. You know, sometimes, you know, I wish I was dead. Sometimes the things I go through, hey, I've been human. If you don't, then that's fine, but I'm human. And sometimes I say, you know, it would be easy if I die. Then I don't have to worry. You know, because I don't know how, but every time I go to a funeral, everybody that died makes it to heaven. Because everybody says, well, our brother's one, so he's in heaven now. So I said, well, okay. So, but see, that is the easy way out. The hard way is to fight. Well, nobody likes to fight. Who likes to fight? Who likes pain and anguish? Who likes all this stuff? Nobody. But that is the hardest way to go. And sometimes we don't like the hardest way to go. We like the easy, the less resistant path, you know. But I'm telling you what, forget it. You are in a fight. There's no easy way out. You are going to have to fight your way until the end. You are going to have to fight with your last breath to get out of here and have victory. See? But you're not alone. Okay, because it's not your fight. It's his fight. Amen. Amen. So Christian life is a war. I mean, even Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, you know, that life, you know, and everything in life is vain, you know. Yeah. Sometimes we think we enjoy life, but I don't know. You know, the older I get, the worse it gets. You know, well, when you're younger, you don't have nothing in that mind. It's kind of empty. So you just having fun, you know. I was a child, you know, I wasn't worrying about dying or fighting, you know. But as you keep growing, you know, things get, you know, the more you know, the worse it gets, you know. Yeah, it is. So the Christian life is a war. And like I said, we didn't enjoy a picnic. So the Bible even tells us that the Christian will, by force. That sounds to me like you're just going to have to there and just get it. By force. You know, take the kingdom. So that don't sound to me like a picnic. I mean, Brother Brown said you have to fight for every inch. Every inch that what belongs to you, you're going to have to take it back. And every inch, possession, steps are possession. But you see, that is the easy part. The easy part is to fight and win. The hardest part is to maintain it. A lot of people fight and win, but the thing is to sustain, to keep it. Because Satan is not done. You think, oh, man, I lost this one. Okay, well, I'll see you next time. No. He's going to come around again and tempt you again with the same thing again. And he's going to try another way and this way and that person and this way. You know, the thing is to stand and never give up. Once you gain an inch, you need to keep it. Because I see many, many people that, even Brother Brown says, they get healing and they lose it. Because Satan comes back around.
See, because the next day, according to Brother Branham, they felt worse. Why? Because the thing is passing out through the body, whatever it was, cancer. So they, Satan comes. Satan did not say, well, I lost it. No, he comes next day and says, oh, wow, I thought you was healed. But what are you feeling? See, it start working in. And if we open that gate and he gets in, he works with your emotions and he works with your feelings. And then next thing that happened, you're worse than you was the day before. See? So we need to discern. We need to know things. So we need to recognize. And the sooner we recognize that we are in a warfare, in a war, and prepare for it, the sooner we will experience victory. Amen. So today, the objective, tonight, my objective is to identify spirits and forces that are fighting against us. Now, there's too many. There is who knows how many, 200,000 or those. I'm not going to do them all. And even if I wanted to, I don't even know. I know we have spirits of disease and afflictions and, you know, sickness. Those spirits are easy to discern. Why? Because you go to the doctor and they got the machines. And they take an x-ray and they say, you got cancer here. Well, now you know what you need to pray for, see? You don't need discernment for that, you know? Unless you're in a line praying and you have faith, that's a different story. But I'm talking that any sickness, diseases, or affliction is easy to verify, you know? However, I'm not talking about those things, because those things will happen. What I'm concerned is about the ones that you don't know about, and you cannot determine or unless you have, you know, discernment. For example, people get COVID, and some people get sick, and some people, you know, you got COVID and you don't, you go and buy a little test tube and discern you got COVID. That's an easy thing to discern. See, we got the machine, we got the technology to discern these things. But what happens if a person has, for example, when I don't want to get too far into my message right now, but they call them asymptomatic. You get sick, but you don't get symptoms. So those kind of devils is the one, and the spirit is the one that I don't like. Because you are sick, but you don't know it. And there's no way to determine because you're not feeling it. And you could be wrong, but you're not feeling that, you don't think you're wrong. Those are the ones that I want to address tonight. Those that we cannot see, we cannot smell, we cannot, you know, we don't even think that we are wrong sometimes. Because those make us believe that we are right. And we argue. And we can do all kind of things because we think we're right. See? That's what I want to address. Those kind of spirits that they sneak up on you. See? And sometimes it is too late by the time we discern those spirits. But also I want to help you understand that we have a counter, you know, strategy for them. See, we can turn things around. If you understand and you discern what you got, you can turn them around. See? You don't have to live with these things. You don't have to cohabit with this, with the spirits. See? We can reverse. Now, to explain this, let me identify the seven spirits that I want to identify of the forces of Satan. Now, let's go to, first of all, to set up the platform here. Let us go to Matthew 12:43. You know this. I'm not preaching. I'm teaching. You heard enough preaching this weekend. I don't need to add no more to the preaching. I'm teaching you because teaching, it will position you, will place you. Teaching, it will, you know, anchor you to the word of God. You know, everything that we say, I mean, I like preaching, inspirational preaching, you know, but everything has to be brought to the word, to anchor you to the word. Something had to hold you, sustain you, you know. So that's what I'm doing tonight. That's what I'm slow. I'm taking it easy here because I want to teach you something here. Matthew 12:43 says, it says, when the unclean spirit gone out of a man,
He walks through dry places seeking rest. I find none. It's strange. He's a spirit that comes out of a man. Maybe he met Jesus Christ. Maybe he accepted salvation. See? And the corrupt spirit that he had in him, I don't know how many, but see, comes out and find no rest. That's a good place for them. That's what they need to be. You know, send them out. You know, go on there and unrest, you know. But they like to live in a human being. They need a human body to work. That's why they can find rest. See? They want to get in a human body that is polluted, and they will pollute it. You know, they pollute their heart. See? They like to look for someone that is in corruption, you know. But this one in particular says that something must have happened. The Bible doesn't say, but I believe he had an encounter with Christ, and he was, you know, that demon that he had was cast away, the spirit. See? And in Matthew, it says 12:44, then he said, I will return into my house. So this guy, you know, I don't blame him. He's in the desert, desolated. There's no water. It's hot. It's miserable. And there's no place to rest. And no wonder I like to go back home. At least I got 3 square meals. See? But this guy says, I like to return back to my house. My house, you know? Yeah. See, the devil owns this flesh. This flesh will not make it. This is his corruption. This is not God intended. So when he says, my house, from whence I came out, he says, and when he come and found it empty, swept and garnished, see, says he find it empty, unoccupied, see, empty from the former or the spirits, because he's waiting. Maybe that person is waiting to receive something else, but it didn't go far enough. Maybe he got to justification, maybe he got to sanctification. But you need to have the Holy Ghost. That is where you know, the tire meets the road. He says, but maybe he was waiting or received one, or maybe he got careless. Maybe he figured, you know, I got time, or maybe he got a little bit, you know, mixed it up, a leg in the world and a leg in church. I don't know. The thing is that he was just, I guess, in limbo. You know, there's a lot of Christians like that, you know. Because Brother Branham said, and we have said it many times, whenever you get desperate and desire the Holy Ghost, you can have it. I met many people, and they used to tell me, they used to quote the scriptures, you know, and they used to say, I'm waiting up to receiving the Holy Ghost. So I said, when is that? Do you have any idea? Well, in the meantime, what are you going to do? You know? So, you find the house empty. And he's not only coming alone. Here's the spirits that he brings. And this is the spirits that I want to talk to you tonight. At least these 7. Said they was swept and it was garnished. So it was clean and maybe it was decorated. Maybe with the things of the world. I don't know. Like I'm saying, maybe he would just, because it was swept clean, but it was decorated. Adorned. With what? But if it was with the Word and the Holy Ghost, that's a different story, but he don't say that. So maybe this person was idling, you know, and maybe he was entertaining things of the world as well. So he was adorned and decorated, maybe with things of the world, you know. Some Christians believe, you know, are there, and Satan tried to convince you that you can live that way. You know, that's what sometimes the gospel, the denomination present, you know. You can have God and you can have that too. You know, religion, Satan. You can have God and you can have phone too. So who knows where this guy was at and why? He don't explain. But 45 said, then goes he and take with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. So man, those were bad boys. The first one was bad and the other one was just really.
And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Seven spirits more wicked. Seven. So, the last state of that man is worse than the first. Evil habits are formed and strengthened by relapse. You know, people get relapse. That's what is so important. Well, I'll get into it in a minute. So, Proverbs 6:16 says, and this is the seven spirits that I want to address tonight. This is my objective. Because they linger in church. See, I'm not going to talk out there. I'm talking to you guys. Church. He says, and the brother was talking about spirits and the warfare. We are not talking about human people. We are not talking about people. We're talking about spirits. This is what we preach again. Said the sick things, it says, six things the Lord hates. And if he hates it, we should hate it too. He says, seven, indeed, and the seven is repulsive, disgusting. It makes you throw up, you know. Hideous, it's gross, the last one. That's how bad God sees it. So if those spirits are around, we don't need to entertain those spirits. Because if God hates it, we should hate it, right? Okay, Proverbs 6:17-19. First one, proud look. They creep in church, I'm going to tell you. Lying tongue. Hand that shed innocent blood. You know, when the devil likes to come to church too. In his flesh, though. Heart that creates wicked plans. Feet that run swiftly to evil. False witness who breed out lies. One who spreads discord, rumors among brothers. Disunity. And that's the one that 70 God hates with passion. Now, let me bring it to a practical level. Let's not leave it in there. Let's just bring it. Let's bring it home. A proud look. What is a proud look? Can you discern a proud look? You know, some people can. You can discern. You have the Holy Ghost. You can discern people that have, that kind of, you know, look at you. You know, that you down there and I'm up here, you know? Right. That I'm more special than you. Some reason they convince themselves that they're better than you. That's a proud look. It says, exalted eyes above others, see? Greater and better than others. And you say, that don't happen in church. Oh, well, I can identify that spirit. It has happened here and it probably will happen again. I hope not. But anybody that believes that knows more than the preacher, that's a proud spirit. We had it here. But we need to keep those spirits out of here. See? This is what John 13:16 says. John 13:16. Verily, verily, I said unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. Okay? Just hold on. Neither the one that is sent is greater than who? Than the one that sent him. Right. Well, Brother Branham was not greater than Jesus Christ. That's the spirit. What do we want to make the less the greater? What are we want to make this, the one that was sent greater than the one that sent him? Right. Why? Let me bring it home now. That's the spirit. I'm just identifying the spirits. Whoever says, Brother Van says, you cannot live no higher than what you are taught. Yeah. I just show you. He says here in John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than the Lord. See? In another way, the disciple is never greater than the who? Than the master. That's what the Lord is saying. So, let me back that up now with what I was going to say. Brother Branham said that you cannot leave no heart that what you are being taught by your pastor, because he's the one chosen to teach you. So a proud spirit says, no, I know more than my pastor. How can you be, when this is the office that God has ordained, this is the plan, and you are what? The grave, you know, the body that he put you, that he has put you under him, so the Holy Spirit, of course, can teach you, can make you grow, you know, can serve you. So a proud spirit will say, well, I know more than you knew. And there are people here that have done that, and they are not here with us today. So remember, you cannot be greater than the Lord. And if the Lord has set up this office, this is how it's going to work. The spirit needs to be out of here. So never, never, you know, entertain a proud spirit. And even with your own brothers and sisters, you're not greater. We all are the same. There's no great I am little use. We're all in the same level. Once we start thinking that we are more spiritual than somebody else, then we start looking down. And that is a proud spirit. So what do we do to fight a proud spirit? I told you I was going to give you, you know, this is the sickness, but this is the remedy. Well, be humble hearted. Now, 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Because the proud shall be what? Abased. So, you don't want a proud spirit. You want a humble spirit. See? Jesus came as a servant. He humbled himself to the cross. And God exalted him to the what? To the most highest. So the cure for a proud spirit is to be humble. We need to ask God to humble ourselves. Second spirit, I'm going to move a little faster here. Proverbs 6:17, a lying tongue. A lying tongue is a person that who neither loves nor tells the truth. And you say, well, you know, I like to sometimes, you know, withhold. You cannot withhold truth neither. I'm going to tell you what in a minute. Because if you know something, you know, like in court, you go to court and you're under oath. And you want to keep some kind of information because it will incriminate you. So under oath, if you suppress any information that will help the case, you know, it's considered a lie. And you can be, also be guilty. So to know the truth, not don't love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, and with all disablement, whatever, how to pronounce that, deceive, okay. Can I pronounce that for me? Deceive what? Yes. And unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of what? Of the truth. That spirit is all over the place. Because if we don't receive the love of the truth, then what happened? In Revelation 2:4 says, nevertheless, I have someone against thee because thou hast left the first what? Love. Listen, if we love God, we go to church. That's the simple thing to do, right? But if we start getting cold and we start not receiving, you know, the truth, the love of the truth, then what happened? We start getting what? Colder and colder. And that is a spirit. And that is a spirit. And many people today, you know, brother preached against it hard. If you love God and you love the truth and you love your people, you will come to church. That's all. That's how simple it is. The rest of them is a spirit that makes excuses. That was the spirit that he was trying to identify. So if we make excuses not to, that's a spirit. Don't open the gates. Don't open the gates of your mind. See? I'm tired. Well, I know I'm tired too. We all tired. We got school tomorrow. Yeah, the kids got school tomorrow. And they're here. Yeah, but tomorrow I got to go to work. Yes, I know. You work hard today, so your body, you worry and everything. Yes. But if you let Satan convince you, God is my strength.
Amen.
God is the one who's going to sustain me. He's going to maintain me. Amen. I don't care what that liar tells me that I'm tired. I said, I am tired, but when I get there,
Amen.
You know, I'm going to re-energize in a minute, you know. I tell people every time I come through the door, you know, they said, I hope that you're okay. I said, well, I'm okay. But when I get there, I'm going to be better.
Amen.
See? I'll be better. And sometimes they say, well, everything is okay. Yeah, but it's going to get better when I get inside there. Amen? So that is a spirit, another spirit that lingers around. You know, and people make excuses. Excuses. It's all it is. I talked to a brother, not from here, anyway, from another state that I was traveling. So don't worry, none of you guys, don't start thinking. He don't go to church, and he don't believe in church, and he don't believe in pastors. So, and I quoted the scripture that said, you know, don't forsake your assembly, even in those days when the. And he says, nah, you guys are misinterpreting that. I said, okay, you know, that's enough for me. I don't need to know what I am misinterpreting. If that scripture made me go to church, don't tell me why not. It's just like we talked about the cloud, but the doctors about the cloud, that people now is against the cloud. But that, you know, I don't need the cloud. I'm already here. That was there. So if it was good or bad, it doesn't matter. I'm here. It's what I wanted to be. So he told me no. And he don't go to church, and he don't take his family to church. And he has the excuses that we misinterpret that. And I didn't want to know why. I should have, but don't need to get into that. What am I going to do? You know, if a person don't want to change, why were you going to sit down and argue with a person? You know, sometimes when I'm having a conversation and I'm not going to get in an argument, the first question that I ask the person is, do you think that I can say something to you that it could change your mind about whatever we? And if they said no, I said, well, we don't need to enter in the conversation because your mind is made up. Why should I waste my time, you know? But if it's a chance that your mind can, and you can hear me, then we have something in common. We can enter in a conversation. Revelation 2:4 says, and that's a spirit, that another spirit is a lying tongue. Someone that don't love the truth and don't like to tell the truth. And you know what? Brothers and sisters, if you like to stretch, you know, like when you go fishing, you like to stretch the story a little bit, like, oh, yeah, I got a fish about this big. And it was, you know, stretching the truth is also not telling the truth because it wasn't the truth. So be careful because all that start nice and innocent like that. You know, we're having fun. Well, if it's my wicked or evil, I don't care if it is good or not. Leave it alone. Because that is not telling the truth. That didn't happen. I got in trouble because I like to. People ask me questions about how I met my wife and but I like to give them the story that I like, that I made up. The juicy one, the one that I made up. And I tell them, yeah, one time she was an MP, you know, military police, and I was driving reckless and she came and stopped me. And she took that, you know, thing that they have, what is that? Whatever. And she hit me. It was love at first heat. You know. So I like to make my story, you know, but. And this lady, I don't even know her or her husband was there and his son. First time I meet him, and I should have at least kind of backed up because, now, if it's you know me, so we're joking, but. And she looked at me like she believed me. But then I felt bad. I said, no, I'm just joking. Let me tell you the truth. So, and she said, and you a preacher? I said, oh, my. hit me right between my eyes. And then she says, so how I'm going to know that you're telling me the truth in the pulpit? Oh, that took my head off. So see, you never know. You know, by stretching or by making just stories, even they're not true, they got to be a lie. So even abstain yourself from stretching the truth or telling stories, because that slowly leads. Look at, I haven't seen her again, but she still talked to my daughter, Tina. That's what I'm married out there, but I hope everything is okay. They live about 2 hours away from, they don't go actually to the church, but I was a bad experience for me. At 75, I'm still learning. You know, some of you like to be, you know, like to have fun and like to tell stories and sometimes, you know. But be careful. I'm just saying be careful. Because that's the spirit. You like it or not, you're telling me, oh, but I cannot have fun joking. I'm not telling you not to joke, but make sure that you tell the person what it is before you start. Don't tell a story without telling. This is a joke, so you understand what what we're doing. Don't just go and start telling stories. Tell them this is a story. Sometimes if I'm going to tell you something that is not in the Bible, that is my conviction, I will tell you. This is how I think. It is my opinion. Like that, you can take it or not. Because it's mine. So you need to do the same thing. Be careful who you're talking to and how you talk to. Anyway, so what is the remedy for a lying tongue? So be honest, tongue. That's all. Can you be honest all the time? The 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. No joking, no stretching the truth. Sorry, you boring, brother. Well, that's where they speak against you as evil doers. He says, they may, by your good works, see, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of what? The visitation. So you have to be careful, see, because you don't know who you're talking about. And maybe what you said, you know, can be salvation to them, you know, encouragement to them in the day of their visitation. Amen. Now, the next one, three, hands that shed innocent blood, whether by murder or battery. Listen to what Brother Brown says. And you people, and you people with these sawblade tempers, I used to have a sawblade temper. Brother, man, I had a sawblade temper. That always is spouting off into the mouth of somebody. Be careful. Think before you speak. Cannot put up and things like that. Be careful. You are guilty if you speak a word against your brother that is not right. He says, not just go around and tear down it. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. Talking about shedding blood of innocence. You can break his character and kill him. Kill his influence. Speak again. Your pastor here say something bad about him. You just might as well shut him. So you say, but I haven't killed anybody and I haven't murdered anybody. Well, but in the spiritual realm, a spirit can do that. If we entertain that kind of a spirit. Told something that wasn't right about him. See? So be careful. Before you start talking about somebody, make sure you got all facts. And even if you have all facts, I wouldn't even speak. Because what is your motivation and interest about speaking about somebody else? You try to assault yourself, or you try to make them less, or what? Destroy them? Even if you're right, I won't even speak a word. Told something that wasn't right about him. Well, it is kill his influence with the people and things like that. And you are guilty of it. That's what Jesus said. So what is the remedy for that? Help the innocent then. Lift them up. You know.
Deuteronomy 19:10 says, it said, the innocent blood of be not shed in thy land. This is the Lord talking. Which the Lord thy God given thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. So, if you kill the influence of someone, that is on you. Or me, whoever does it. At the end, we're going to be guilty of it. Jesus, when they crucify him, the people, the religious people cry, crucify him. And then when they took him to Pilate, he says, I wash my hands. And what did the people say? Let the blood be upon us, upon our children. What do you think? Hitler did what he did. Because the blood was upon them and upon the generation and the children. They have a hard time. See? But that's what they said. Let that blood be upon us. And they've been paying since then with blood. So we have to be careful with that spirit. Let's not shed blood of innocent people. Like I said, not physically blood, but not to offend someone. And it says, is to help innocent. Is the best thing to do is not, in fact, we should not say anything at all. You know, if we're not sure, even if we should not say anything, if you're going to offend someone, little one, you say, and the Bible says, be careful to offend a little one. Better to put a rope around your neck and tie it to a big, whatever, rock and throw yourself. That's how bad it is. You see, we should never entertain a spirit that will offend somebody else. I'm mailing an innocent child of God. See? So we need to measure everything that comes out of our mouth. Every word sometimes that we speak, before we speak it, we better just kind of figure it out. If this is going to help, if this is going to hurt. Because we are going to pay for it. See? The next one. A heart that devises wicked imagination. That's another spirit. It is a heart that fabricates things to do, bad things to do. You know, people that go to sleep, and then tomorrow, when I see that, I'm going to give it to him. I mean, he's going to pay for what, and this is how I'm going to do it. And they start fabricating. Excuse me. And they start building up on that. And it gets worse. The more they think about it, the worse it gets. And they figure it out when, how, and where. You know, they're going to do this act. So, we should be careful. The Bible said that in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, this is the remedy for someone like that, for that kind of a spirit. See? You know, I don't go to sleep and start thinking about, tomorrow I'm going to rob a bank. And this is the way I'm going to do, and this is the bank. I don't go to sleep trying to devise wicked things. Or tomorrow I'm going to commit adultery, you know. Or tomorrow I'm going to, we don't do that. That's the spirit. Or tomorrow I'm going to get even with my brother or my sister. That's devising, you know. But the Bible said, instead of planning to do bad things, I mean, like it says over here, heart that devise wicked imagination, let's do good things. Think about what you're going to do tomorrow that is going to be good and it's going to help somebody else. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down every imagination, anything that exalts itself, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. So if the thought do not qualify to be God's word, out. You don't come to this gate, because that thought comes from Satan. And Satan trying to get into the gate and start manipulating and making things make you believe, like Eve, that this is happening. Well, that pastor got have it against me. How did you know that? Go and ask him. Go to the office. Oh, no, nobody can talk to him. See? And it gets worse. That spirit gets worse and worse. And then the next thing you know, you don't see him. See? And then, you know, misery likes company. I'm glad. I mean, it would be nice if they keep it to themselves. But no. No, that's the spirit. Listen, my ears are not a trash can. I had a friend, a dear friend, and he's still my dear friend. He's the one that introduced me to the message that got used. And one day, after a while, you know, we were talking, and he was going to tell me something about a brother. And he was being honest, but he was going to tell me something that wasn't right. So I said, hold it. I wasn't, that many years in the message, but I understood enough. I said, hold it. This is the question that I asked him. I said, if you tell me what you're going to tell me, and you think that what you're going to tell me is going to change my way I see my brother right now, what you're going to tell me is going to change what I think about my brother, I don't want to hear it. So he just kind of, I love my brother. I still love him. Why? You should not never hear anything about anybody else if it's going to change the way you perceive your brother. In fact, the only way you perceive your brother is how God perceives you or perceive him. If anybody comes with something less, you should not even start a conversation. Be frank. I'm frank with, I love my brother. And I nicely ask him, if this is going to affect the way I, when I see that brother and I'm going to greet him, I'm going to think about what you told me. That's going to affect me. I said, don't tell me. Just keep it to yourself. And that's how I deal with things. That's why sometimes people don't talk to me a lot. Because I tell you, and I always tell you, that if you tell me something, the first thing question I ask you, do you talk to your pastor? And you tell me no, I'm going and tell your pastor, and then we all three are going to be in the office. And that had happened to me. A sister talked to me and says, I don't understand this, and the pastor should have done this, I don't know. I said, have you talked to brother? No, I haven't. Okay. I didn't say nothing. So I talked to brother. I said, this. So next thing I know, I'm calling the principal office. And she was there, brother there. And I sit down and says, and brother Doug says, brother Eli told me this, and this. Sister, that's true or not? She said, yes. Oh, I was off the hook. See, I wasn't making stories. But it was hard for me to be there, you know. But he needed to find out. She needed to know also. Then, well, he counseled her and blah, blah, and things were okay. But listen to me. Don't tell me anything about anybody, because I don't tell. See? I will tell. That's what people, you guys don't talk to me too much about problems or anything, because I tell. And if you have something with somebody and I find out, I'll bring you two together and put you in the room and I'll give you gloves and I'll be the referee. No, we don't want to stand for none of that stuff in this place. So don't tell me anything, because I will repeat it. So casting down imagination, bringing everything in obedience to the word of God. Proverbs 3:5-8 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Do not rely on your own insight. See? Or on your own, you know, wisdom, understanding. Why? Because you're going to be wrong. We're going to be wrong. You cannot trust the flesh. Period. All bad things come out of the heart. God of man, the Bible says. I cannot even trust myself. You know? So, according to Brother Branham, you are your worst enemy. Are you going to trust your worst enemy? No, you're going to keep him down. You know? Don't let him rise. He's not going to tell you nothing good. Proverbs 3:5-8 says, trust in the Lord thy heart and lean on you. And then 6 says, and in all thy ways and knowledge, recognize what? God. In everything that you do, in everything that you say, in everything, recognize that God is in that. If not, let's not do it. You know? I'm not talking about, you know, what we're going to eat tomorrow. I'm not talking about that things. That's the famous 65,000 question. What are we going to eat? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our relationship with each other and God. No? Acknowledge, recognize him. And he says, he shall direct. See? He will tell you. He told the disciple, don't imagine, don't try to figure out, don't try to concoct a story when you are in front of the judge and they take you. Don't worry. Don't say nothing. Don't imagine anything. That's my problem. I have a very active imagination. And Satan takes advantage of me. Because if I had to go to the doctor, I start thinking everything that can go wrong. And then not only that, but I make plans that if that happens, this is what I'm going to do. See, I've got a super active imagination, and it's my determined. I mean, I hate my imagination. Because when they tell me, it just goes, you know, wild. Sometimes I have to control my imagination. You know, see, the doctor tell me something, or I got a pain, oh, I got cancer, or I got this, you know. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the doctor, and when he tells me that, I'm going to tell my wedding, you know. Don't figure it out. You know, don't do anything. Because Jesus told the disciples, when you get there and they question you, I will give you what to say and what to do. Trust the Lord. Amen. Don't try to you know, don't let your imagination like me run wild. Mine runs wild all the time. I hate my imagination. I have a very, my wife, you know, sometimes she's sleeping and the room is quiet and I'm sitting there, you know, thinking. And she gets up and says, shut up. Well, she doesn't say that, but be quiet. I said, I'm not saying anything. But you're thinking too loud. Because I'm always, I had to calm my imagination. I had to sometimes tell it, shut up. I don't like you. Sit down. I'm done with you. Tomorrow you get in an airplane and you're going to fly. I already made up my mind all the things that's going to happen in that airplane. And I'm what I'm going to do. Oh, my God. It wears me out. I'm my worst enemy. And I tell the Lord every time I start with that, I say, Lord, help me. Just kill my imagination. So, in acknowledge him, recognize him. He will straighten, smooth your way, your path. He will remove all those obstacles. You will not do it. I don't care how much you try to figure out how you're going to remove something, an obstacle that Satan put in. You won't do it. You won't. Because you will be wrong anyway. I was wrong all the time. You know, I told you last time, you know, that a coward died many times. So, I don't know, I told you, I don't know how many times I had died already, because every time I had to figure out things. But that's me. That's me. I hope you don't have that problem. That's one of my problems. I don't want to tell you about the rest of them, but that's one of my problems. If you want to know, I'll give you the list of them. But anyway, I know myself. I live with myself all these years. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord with reverence, awe, and obedience. And depart from evil. Any thought, anything that smells like evil, just. And every time we start thinking and we think, that's depart from all the thought. Commit everything unto the Lord. Because that is the spirit that want to keep you down, you know. We come in and, what about this? And what about that? It shall, it says on 8, Proverbs 5, 3a says, it shall be health to thy morals, bones, even down to inside your bones. That's what that is. So I wonder why we have so many people sick. If we do what he said, do not be wise. How many wise guys we got in the church? He said, do not be wise in thy own eyes. See? It shall be health unto your bones and marrows and everything. So we should be all healthy, right? Because we don't entertain that spirit. We're not wise in our own eyes. See? And the last one, I like what the Amplify says. It will be held to your body, your nerve, muscles, your inner parts. It will be refreshment to your bones. So we should be having how many are sick in the church? Nobody should be sick because we're not wise in our own understanding. We don't entertain that spirit. See? We only entertain one spirit, and that is the Holy Ghost. So it is a promise that if we do that, you know, what is the problem today in our churches? It's a spirit, but depression. What other? Stress. What do you think all those things bring what? Diseases and bad health to you. Why? Because those spirits will oppress you to the point that will make you sick. And that's what they want. But if you're not wise, if we're not, paying attention to that, and we don't open a gate to all those things, you should have health. Why? Because you know we'll be oppressed. You will not be tortured. See? Keep those spirits out of church. Keep them out of your life. And I tell you what, you will be a better health, a person more healthy. See? Why do we have so many sickness? This is the second time that talks about sickness. Because we worry too much. You know? We worry too much. And usually, whatever you worry about, it will never happen. You know that? Because you ain't no way you know the future and you will know what's going to happen. I try that. I try it all the time. I worry a lot. You know, I'm trying to, I'm still, God is working on me. But like I said, I get in an elevator, I got phobias. But I get in the elevator anyway. But I got to fight with my mind. And my imagination, if it stops, this is what I'm going to do. That's the phone right there. I'm going to call. I had to fight with my imagination. But I said, forget it. I'm going to get in. And whatever happens, I don't care. Let it happen if it's going to happen, you know. When we get there, we figure it out. We don't even figure it out. But next thing I know, I'm down with my floor that I'm supposed to get down. Did it happen? How many times you worry about getting in an airplane and how many times that you've flown and that airplane has gone down? So what did you worry about it? You should be going in an airplane just so happy and content and glad that you are going away. But the imagination, start working. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, it says, brothers, it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, we're talking about honesty, and believing the truth, and be honest, whatsoever is just and fair, whatsoever things is pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, if there's any virtue and there be any praise, then it says, think on these things. So if you're going to waste your time thinking, think about something good at least. You're going to get sick. Next time I say you're sick, I'm going to ask you, what are you worrying about? What have you been thinking? If I was the doctor, that's what I ask you. What have you been thinking? Because it takes a toll on your body. The worries and the stress, all this depression, Proverbs 6:8. Number 5, feet, it says, that be swift and running to mischief. See, people that know
the truth, you know, iniquity is to know to do something right and not do it. And there's some people that do that because they are greedy, whatever reason. See? So what is the cure for someone that, you know, don't get in mischief? You know, usually young kids, you get in a lot of mischief when you're younger. But we don't want to run into that. It says, run to something good is what you need to do. Hebrews 13:21 says, he make you perfect in every good work. So you don't have to try to make something. Make a good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory ever and ever. Amen. So, perfect, let's do what's perfect and good. See? Not anything mischief, you know. These people that comes around and they burn the church, mischief, you know. But those people are miserable. Those are spirits, that's not people. I want you to know that's the devil. Yeah. And that's what I'm telling you. These are spirits that come around. Proverbs 6:19, number 6, a false witness that speak lies. One who even in oath before a court of justice tell, you know, a half-truth. You know that a half-truth is a lie? More than a half-truth is a lie. Why? Because it's not completely, you know. The information is not complete. And how somebody's going to make a decision in a half-truth? Oh, but then I forgot to tell you. It's just too late now. So, false witnesses speak lies. See? Not speaking the truth. But the remedy for that spirit here quickly is to be a true witness, not a bad witness. Speak the truth all the time. If we not going to speak the truth, might as well just hush it. Because anything else is a spirit. Amen. And in this message, today the pulpits and all these revelations that people have, it has gone, you know, all the way to the left, I think. There's so many things that are being preached in this message that is not the truth. They say, well, this is a revelation that God gave me. Just be careful. Just be careful. That's just the spirit, you know. We only believe what God says, believe his word. And the last one, he that saw this discord, see, spread rumors. That go to the church too. That spirit likes to come to church. See? People, and not only in church, people who troubles the peace of a family. Not only church, but you go out there and you trouble school, bully, you know? Anything like that. Not only church, but people that are against the government. They like to lie and misrepresent the truth. See? But it's bad when you do it in church, you know, and against your brothers and sisters, you know, trying to sow discord. God hates that because God wants unity. So anybody that sow discord, God hates that. So instead of doing that, why don't we sow peace? And unity. That will be, if God hates that, then God will love unity among brothers and sisters. Ephesians 2:14 says, and I'm done with this. This is my last one. For he himself is our peace and our bond of unity. He is my father, and he is your father. We have the same father. We have the same spirit, so we should be united, right? We don't have two different Holy Ghosts. So I should believe what you believe according to the word of God. And that should bring what? Unity. It is not something that we make up or try to do. The Word of God brings unity. Why? If I unite myself with God, and you unite yourself with God, then we are united in God. If we unite ourselves in the Word and we believe the same Word, then it is unity. The problem is when, you know, our imagination likes to run free sometimes. But I don't believe it that way. That's not what, brother. Well, see, we're entertaining something now because now we are not in one accord. And we are, you know, not in unity. It says, he who made both groups, Jews and Gentile, into one body and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall, that spiritual antagonism between us. So, the only way we're going to have unity if we believe the Word, we have the same Father, we have the same Spirit, and we believe that Word. There's no other way. Brother Doug just spent time talking about unity, and that is a thing that I took with me. You and I cannot unite ourselves. You can try all you want to. This is a church, but that don't make us united because we come to the same church and we have the same pastor. You have to strive. You have to strive. I got to strive to unite with God. Because at the end, it is God that is going to bring the body together. So if I unite with God, and you unite with God, don't forget about me, actually. Because if you love God, you know, then the Bible says, and you hate your brother, lie. See, because if I love God and I'm united with God, how can I hate you? How are we not want to have unity if you are in? So I don't worry about me. Worry about you and God uniting together. And the only way we can do that is by believing his word completely from end to beginning. And don't let this spirit come and divide us. So, it says, into one body. So, that's what I got when brother's going through all those. Well, that was my Reader Digest version. He took 34, well, I don't know how many. But that's what I got from him, you know. And I want to get out of here. Don't you want to get out of here? You know, the church in Michigan, I don't worry about the church in Michigan. I don't worry about the church where my daughters are going. I don't worry about the church where nobody, in fact, it's a mystical body that I don't know and I don't understand. How in Africa, you know, that church is going to unite with love divine. Impossible. Physically, it's impossible. Different culture, different tongue. How are we going to unite? They unite with God. We unite with God here in Tucson. And when the rapture happens, God will bring everything that is united to God. Because God is going to bring everything together to himself in Christ Jesus. So don't worry, you know, how many churches, how big is this mystical body? It's too big. But God is going to bring the body together, united. And we should not be tearing down. We should be building ourselves up. We should not disunite, but unite. And the way that you unite, you know how I know that you are united? Because the way you are united with God, you will be united with the people. The way you love God, you love the people. It's just a precept, a concept. See? So unite with God. Forget about me. I will unite with God. He will bring us together. Amen? Amen. Man, stand up. We are done. Thank you for being so attentive and letting me use your time wisely. Because my mom told me that all the time. It says, abuse your friends wisely. No, it was not abuse. It says, that's not what she told me. Help them wisely. I made that up. I had to repent. Because that's the thing that I forget it. I got problems. Just pray for me. Because I got problems. We all got problems. Listen, my brothers, this is spiritual warfare, and we are fighting, and these things are here. All these seven that I just mentioned, they come to church. Yeah. And you're going to have to be on your toes. You have to be ready to fight in the mornings. Like I told you, I know what war is. I was in Vietnam. I know what the enemy is looking for you. You don't have to look for your enemy. The enemy is looking for you. And as soon as he finds you, he's going to shout at you. And you better be ready. You better be ready with all your armor. You know, the army give you everything, your helmet, put everything on. Because when you wake up in the morning, you better get dressed up with the armor of God, because you are going to face the enemy, you like it or not. This is a warfare. And all these spirits are going to be after you. And in church, you know, pray it up before you come to church. Make things right, Brother Van said, before you come to church. One of these days, sin will not come through those doors. Take care of all that before you come to the presence of the Lord, because the presence of God is here. You know? And if you believe that, you make things right before you even come through those doors, because you're going to meet God. See? God help us, because I'm telling you, it is the end time. And things are getting worse and worse, and the darkness is pressing and pressing and pressing on the light. It will not extinguish it, but it's pressing. Do you feel the pressure? Yeah. When you go to work, when you go to school, do you feel pressure? Or is it a picnic? You know what? That's not your friend. That is spirits. And you need the Holy Ghost, and we need the Holy Ghost if we are going to make it. I mean, with the Holy Ghost, and look at the problem that we get into. Can you imagine not having the Holy Ghost? We need the Holy Ghost. And we need to surrender ourselves to God and yield ourselves completely to God and let God, just give it to God, you know. That's why so many people are sick and afflicted today. It's all had to do with the mind, you know. It's a battle in the mind for your soul, for your soul. It is not just you, it's your soul that can be. Satan is after, but he's not going to get it. Because the only way he can get in there, he has to become my brother. He will not get in there like that. See? Because I'm hidden in Christ. If he wants to come in, yeah, come in. But I'm hidden in Christ perfectly. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again, and I ask you to just take these broken words the way they were given, Father, and you give it to your children the right way. You gave me the thought. You put it in my heart. You know what you want to do with it, Father. I'm just being faithful to stand here, Father, and give it out and empty my heart. And I had emptied my heart to them now, Father. You know what you was going to do with it. And we know that everything is good. We just want to please you. We just want to do what you desire us to do, Father. We just want to be, Father, all you want us to be, Father. Father, and we don't have to try. We don't have to manufacture. If we just surrender our minds, our body and soul to you, you will make us, Father, that you want us to be, Father. It is hard. If we try it ourselves to live this message, it's hard. I agree with you. This message is hard. If we try to live it, but we don't have to do that. God will bring the word to pass. He will accomplish everything that he has promised. All we have to do is just believe God and let it work. His word, his promises in us, Father. We just need to believe. What else? Abraham, believe. Do unto us, Father. As Mary said, Father, that's all we want. We want to come and lay in the sun, S-O-N. And we want to mature and we want to get ripe, Father. But for that, we're going to have to kill this flesh every day, Father. Because Satan has the mind. That's the gate to this body, to the reasoning, to the consciousness. That is how he uses to battle against our flesh, Father. But we need to learn how not to open that gate. If it's against the word of God, it will not come through. Because when we come to church, yes, the word of God goes to our mind and into our heart. That is something that we want. But for something else, no. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for all the things you have done. And we thank you, Father, for this weekend and all the preaching that we heard. And we thank you for all the things that you are doing and you are so faithful. You're so faithful to us, Father. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. What you said you will do, you will do it. Father, just help us to believe, Father, every word that's come, Father, from your mouth, Father. Father, we are so thankful to be here tonight. Thankful for my brothers and sisters. Thankful for we have a godly pastor. Thankful for we have a place. And Father, now we are going to surrender all to you and let you have your way in our hearts. Father, we are going to. It's just a matter of life or death. We are on a war. It's life or death, and we are going to choose life, Father. We got the power. We got the Holy Ghost. We got something that will lead us and guide us to all good things. We don't have to settle for less. We got the best. God gave us the best he could give us. He gave us a weapon that can defeat that devil anywhere, any place, any circumstance. He gave us his word. And if he was more better than that, he would have given it to us. But his word, Father, will defeat that devil anytime, in any place. Father, we just need to believe. Father, thank you once again. And as we depart from one another, not from your spirit, Father, watch over your children. Keep them, Father, to the rest of the week. And we ask you that if it's a Sunday, Father, that we will be ready, Father, to come and partake of what you have for us. Thank you once again. I appreciate you. We love you, and we cannot say it enough, but we love you. We love you for all you have done. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holy me, holiness, holiness from me. You are.